party people. Thanks for taking a listen to the Activist Podcast, episode 19, Letting It Go. Today's theme is Letting It Go. We'll talk about my first flash mob experience, one incredible show that I cannot seem to let go, and what my it is when it comes to letting it go. So grab yourself a mojito, or whatever you happen to be drinking, and let's let it all go. Welcome, one and all, welcome. For the amazing people that have returned for yet another installment of Musings from a Mind of a Borderline Crazy Box, I say you are loved and you have my utmost respect and thanks. For you newbies, I thank you for giving me a test drive and I hope I don't drive you into a brick wall. Now, like I said before, today's theme is all about letting it go. Now, it can be anything you want. I know it's going to be different for everybody, I know that. For me, my it is self-imposed anxietal sabotaging. Now I know anxietal isn't really a word, but that's okay. It's my show. Sorry I took a break. My birthday was in July, so I kind of had to do it. So it just kind of took the whole month and the rest of the summer, and now we're back. Hooray! So on to the first order of business. July 30th was National Dance Day. But I guess now you can call it International Dance Day. The day was created, I think it was 2 years ago, by the people of So You Think You Can Dance and the Dizzy Feet Foundation. And originally the purpose was to do something to get people to be physically active and hopefully dance would be the exercise of choice. It has since become more of a celebration of dance than anything else. Of course, I'm one of the people that advocates it as so. I'd rather support the idea of dance rather than support the idea that there's only one day to get up and dance. I personally feel that shaking a tail feather every day is the best medicine, even if it's just a little bit. It doesn't matter how you do it, just do it if it's fun. In light of National Dance Day, my friend Valerie wanted to participate in a flash mob. Not that I blame her, I wanted to too. And since there weren't any in our area, she posted on Facebook and a whole slew of other places and tried her damnedest to get a big crowd. I think part of the trouble was that 2 weeks' notice isn't really much time to prepare. So we danced anyway. Since there were only a handful of people, I called it a flash dance. Also, the dance was only about 45 to 50 seconds. On the way to the dance site, I was telling my friend Brian in the car that even though I am super excited to do it, I'm really not wanting to. What I love about my friends is their unwavering support. And that same support said, well, if you don't want to do it, let's go back home. That was tempting, but I can't. I had to do this. So we parked at the movie theater across the street from Santana Row because I did not want to try to find parking in those parking lots. And we're also cutting it close. As we're walking across the street, I felt like, oh, this is a breeze. But when it came to walking up to the common area where we decided we were going to do this little dance, that was a struggle. And again, I brought up my not wanting to do it. And to this, my friend Brian responds, that's why you brought me, because you know I'll say, sure, let's go. Now, I had to think about that for a second. And it's not because it was true, but because I don't think I ever expected to hear that. Now, I know how he meant it, and I know how I took it. Are two completely different messages. He meant it as, you know, because we're friends, I wouldn't let you do something you really wouldn't want to do. I'll support you whatever way I can. I took it as, you only brought me so you can have an out. And like I said, I know it's not how he meant it, but it helped me to not worry so much about this tiny little dance. And then I heard the music. Dun, dun, dun. Oh, gosh, no. In the video footage that Brian took, I looked like a giant brat walking toward the rest of the kids at a party that I didn't want to go to. And a million thoughts had popped into my head as I was walking across that little lawn. First, will there be more people than there were at the rehearsal? Second, how good will the video footage be? Third, did I practice enough? Fourth, what will happen if I'm dancing and I bump into somebody that's walking by? So I take a deep breath and I lumber my way to where the other people are dancing. Then, just like that, it was over. And then as we walked back to the car, I talked about anything and everything, but not the dance. I actually did not remember doing it. So when I got home, I looked at the footage, and it looks like I didn't screw it up, but that I was kind of sloppy. I didn't hit everything as hard as I was supposed to. Oh well, but I did do it. And if you'd like to see the flash dance, regretfully, I will put it in the show notes. Oh, Lord, help me. Okay, so that is our flash dance. But I did have that moment of anxiety where I was like, oh, God, I don't think I can do this. And finally, Brian's words just kind of snapped me out of it. Like, shut up or do it. So I did it. Ago, my dear friend and a blogger of holypigeon.com piqued my interest in a show that was happening over at the Aurora Theater in Berkeley, and the show is called Metamorphosis. It's based on a Kafka story of the same name, and as it turns out, that particular one was her favorite story, so she was very interested in seeing how it was adapted for the stage. Her eagerness quickly rubbed off on me, and so we got tickets for closing weekend. Once we got inside, the first thing I noticed was how incredibly tiny the theater was. The stage was not much bigger than my living room, and truly not much bigger. If you've never been to the Aurora Theater, it's set up in a thrust stage. Now, a thrust is where a portion of the stage extends out into the audience. And in this instance, we're sitting on bleachers on three sides of the stage. And the part of the stage that is in the center is actually on the floor with the front row seats. It's about, I don't know, it was like 7 feet across and 12 feet deep. Then there's not only a platform to represent upstairs bedroom, but that platform is raked or slanted to like a 45 degree angle. On the rake, there are several steps that seem to be about 2 inches wide, and this made me very, very nervous. The quick footwork that was happening on that stage was just screaming for an accident to happen, I swear. Around the back of the rake, there was a metal frame of various squares that stretched up about another 8 feet. Down stage front, there was a living room setup with a small coffee table and chairs and sofa chair next to it, and I think it was a side table and a record player on top. And near the center of the thrust was this like square dining room table with four chairs and a single light that was hanging over it, kind of like a diner light. I was really intrigued that they decided to use the color yellow as their main color for the entire set. It was all varying stages of yellow. And if I remember correctly, the actual written story takes place in the 1800s, but the play itself is set in the 1940s. The costumes were dead on, like spot on perfect. And they were so clean and crisp. I swear I thought they were going to break when they moved. It was so, so incredible. Now, the story centers around the young man who wakes up one morning to find that he has somehow become vermin. And it's still kind of up in the air as to what he truly is. A lot of people think that he's a bug, but the original text simply translates to vermin. His family, they work through the whole varying stages of emotions. They go from horror to disgust to denial, acceptance, and then finally frustration. The actors were absolute perfection, and they blew me away. When the character Gregor, played by Alexander Crowther, comes out of his room and skitters around the stage, and then he hops on the table, then he grabs the light that's above it and swings his legs up so he's hanging upside down like Spider-Man. Woo! My heart was pounding in my chest. I've tried to recall another time when I was watching a show that I was this exhilarated, and I can honestly say there has never been another time. Never. His energy, stamina, and focus on maintaining an almost constant movement, like climbing that metal frame that was in the back, was outstanding. And I can't say how incredible this cast was all around, from top to bottom. And I've never questioned any of the acting or any of the directing choices, and I think for me that this was the absolute perfect play. I look forward to seeing so many more plays from the Aurora Theater, and I recommend you do the same. Oh, and before I forget, okay, so there's this one moment when a possible renter for one of the rooms loses his cool and shrieks how he's been disgraced, but he's very calm about it. Oh, I've been disgraced. And I personally thought it was hysterical, but everyone was so quiet and fixed on him that I was like, oh, did I just ruin the moment? But he went from seething quiet anger into shrieking hysterics and then back down to anger so fast. And like I always say, that when you play the opposites that fast, it's so funny. And again, it was so true, and he was perfect. And the guy that did it, his name is Patrick Jones. Oh my gosh, if he's ever in anything around here, I need to see it, because he was perfect. So long story short, Aurora Theater, go see a show there. You'll be blown away. Just blown away.
Friends who left without you now, the sticks and stones could ever break your bones. How can you let those plastics make you frown? Wake up and drink this and let it fill you up with hope. Just let it hit you hard and let go. Baby, just let go now. Let go Get up and go and snip the cord to the anchor that binds you. And my guess is you won't even pay the slightest attention to me. And all these words, baby, they're just no use for me to just let you be. Wake up and drink this and let it fill you up with hope. Just let it hit you hard. Let go. Baby, just let go now. Let go. Get up and go and snip the cord to the anchor that binds you. You know my ways, you know my words, you know my hands, and you know what you heard. And I can't stand up any taller. So come out from beneath the bed and stay. Let go, baby, just let go now. Let go. Get up and go and snip the cord to the anchor that binds you. Let go, baby, just let go now. Let go, get up and go and snip the cord to the anchor that binds you. Snip the cord to the anchor that binds you.
Letting it go. The hunt for a perfect audition song is a pain. First, you want to find a song that shows off your range. So, like all tenors do, we try to find that one song that hits that high note toward the end of the song so they remember. The second thing you want is a song that not everyone's gonna do. The third and most important thing you want, well, at least I want, is one that I can connect to the lyrics. Those wants narrow that list down so greatly. So when the time came to audition for How to Succeed, I thought, you know what? I just want to have fun. I just want to not stress. And if I don't get cast, that's okay. So then I started thinking about songs that I could sing well, and that were fun. So finally, after a number of choices, I settled on When You're Good to Mama from Chicago. Now, it's such a fun song. And what I did was I kept the beginning, I cut out the second verse and most of the middle, and then I hopped right to the end. And there was a little bit of a challenge getting that cut just right. So what I did was I said, so. And then the accompaniment comes back in. When you're good to mama, that whole thing. And it went well. It wasn't the best thing ever. But then again, at the same time, I don't think I was going for broke. I just wanted to be able to, for one, get the hang of auditioning without stressing, without wanting to feel like I was going to get sick or sweating all over myself and wanting to just go home and not do it at all. So I said, don't take this seriously. Don't take this so seriously. And that's what happened. And actually what came out was all right. And I'm okay with that. Now, these auditions happened in early August. And there was a seminar that I wanted to go to at the end of August that kind of dealt with these sort of things, these sort of issues. And one of the things that I learned from that particular seminar was that the nervous system is, and your brain are actually elements that their only job is to keep you alive and keep you safe. So anytime you have those nerves, that's just your body saying, this is unfamiliar and I don't want to do it, only because it doesn't know that it's not unsafe. And so once you get past realizing that, you're okay. And one of the first things that they taught us there, aside from the brain and the nervous system, was a little exercise called So What? And that's pretty much what I did with the audition. It's like, you know, if you suck, so what? So what? Just go do it. Suck this time around, come back next time, and be awesome. It doesn't matter if you fail. It matters if you pick yourself up, learn your lesson, and get back out there and do it again. And that's what I learned. Now, it may have just been pure dumb luck that I learned that lesson, but the fact that I did that and then I had someone else confirm that it's something that works makes me feel a little better that it happened that way and that my instincts were correct. One of the things that they told us at the seminar was that you cannot be something that you're aware of. So if you're aware of your nervous system, that can't be you as an entity. It's a part of you, but it's something else. And your mind, the thing that you know, that where you hear the little voices, the doubty voices and everything, you're aware of that. So therefore, that also cannot be you as an entity. It's part of you, but it's not all of you. So there's more to you than that. And those both are designed to keep you secure. They either make you do the whole fight, flight, freeze, or pray, you know, oh God, you know, let this not happen, or you know, freeze up, or you do what I do is you run away. I run away, or I talk myself out of it, or you fight. And the whole system kind of organizes, or tries to organize the quote unquote chaos that's going around you. And the chaos is pretty much anything that you don't already know the outcome of. And so, or anything that's out of control. And I thought this was really interesting. They put in definitions of the word chaos. And the first one is out of control. The second one from the dictionary is an empty space preceding the creation of the universe. And this empty space, anytime that that's around you, your brain or your nervous system try to get rid of it or avoid it. And so I was like, I got empty space. I got a lot of empty space. And I think that's what accounts for most of my anxiety. And it's weird because even now after this seminar, I feel so much more relaxed and needing to say less than I've ever felt in my entire life. So there's really a lot of interesting side effects that this whole seminar had. One of the other exercises that they taught us was, it's temporary. So when you say, oh, my life is bad, or you know, this job sucks, or I'm stuck here for this, you know, for this purpose or that purpose. And your response is, oh, it's temporary. So then you kind of change your mindset. Oh yeah, it is temporary. So then you kind of look forward to the future. And in looking forward to the future, you sort of start planning it yourself. And that kind of moves you forward into where you need to go or what you want to do and that sort of thing. So what? And it's temporary. So I was like, what? Get out. Two so utterly simple things, and they work so incredibly well. Who'd have thunk it? Well, I mean, clearly Michelle and Robert Colt bunk it because, you know, that's their seminar.
Let go of yourself like there's nobody else Hot tamale. Hot tamale.
So dance like there's only you. Sing like the end shall. Say just what you want to say to that pretty girl. Your eyes meet across the room. Let go of yourself like there's nobody else in the world like you. Let go of yourself like there's nobody else in the world like you.
Then take it to the bridge one more time.
Yourself and trying to be so sleek and realize that you are something that's completely unique. Instead of trying so hard to be something untrue, why don't you try a little bit less and just to try to be you? Because when you're lying on your back and D is looking at the stars, all those things in your life you be covering with scars in your matter. It's all just a queen and what you put upon the platter. Your perception is a queen, it gets a slider. Bring the tempo up a faster as we get into the groove of it. And just to tell you tune to try to get a smooth of it. The flowers, the leaves, the ashes in the trees, when it all comes close to the things in our memories. And when you're bad mood looking it out and you be lying on your feet, tell the feet of the shout, just wanna shout and make it on the feet it goes out. I try to make it all around to be the cynical tone. This is the last time around, but it's just a click track. I'll be doing something better cause this shit is kinda whack. And here it comes from the two to be born and in a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Let go of yourself like there's nobody else in the world like you. Let go of yourself like there's nobody else in the world like you. Let go of yourself like there's nobody else in the world like you. Let go of yourself like there's nobody else in the world like you.
And that's our show for today, kids. Look at that, I kept it under a half hour. I have some good news. I've actually got some fellow activists, Samantha Stidham and Ronnie Mishra, will be guests. I will invite them to post blogs, and they will help me with capturing moments of the rehearsal process of how to succeed. And, you know, we'll be sharing some information with you. So I'll have a team. Oh, that's exciting. So the activist is expanding. So I thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that you stick around for another episode. You can find me on Facebook at Jerry the Activist, JerryTheActorvist, or you can email me at Jerry@theactorvist.com. And definitely leave comments in the show notes. And for all the music and everything that I talked about will be in the show notes. Those will be up shortly. And have yourself a wonderful day. Go out and see some live theater. For all my friends who have auditions, bookings, showings, just events that they're going to do, break a leg. And for everyone else, go out and see some live theater and support your local artists and art scene. So until next time. My name is Jerry, and on behalf of my future actor visters, we bid you good night.